Rural Development, Finance and Policy Committee to order. Let the record reflect there's a quorum present. Members, just a quick housekeeping. We're going to work on the supplemental budget bill, the DE amendment we walked through on Monday, just to get the bill in front of us and in the order to then take some testimony. I'm going to move that we adopt the or pass the SF 4019 and re-refer it to the Finance Committee. And then members, the second motion will be that we move the A1 amendment, and that would be the DE amendment. And I'll just ask that we adopt that so we have the bill amended in front of us as we're going to discuss it, subject to other testimony and a possible discussion or amendments after that. But any discussion on the A1 amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. To the bill as amended, members, we got quite a list of testifiers, so just anybody on the list of testifying, here's the rules we're going to set out. We've got Commissioner Peterson, Deputy Commissioner Bob Meyer from the DNR, and Director Thompson from Board of Animal Health, first members to comment on the bill and as amended, and then we will move into the other testifiers. Those from the agencies, I'm limiting, going to ask you to limit your testimony to 3 minutes each, and then others, we're going to ask you to keep your comments to 1 minute each. And members, I'll try to give you a 15-second or 30-second 30 to 15 second warning, and then please try to wrap up. So you know what's coming. We've got a lot to get through. Want to hear from different people, but can't have one person dominate all the discussions. So with that, Commissioner Peterson, we'll welcome you first, Mr. Meyer next, and then Dr. Beth Thompson. So welcome to our committee. Commissioner Peterson, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Agriculture. I'll talk really fast. I'd really appreciate the opportunity to comment on your budget today, and want to, you know, just kind of first by start by saying what an interesting time we have, you know, right now with the surplus and the dollars that we have. You know, and I just also want to start by putting it into context that I really appreciate all the work that this committee put into our budget last year. MDA, we passed a strong budget that is doing great things for Minnesotans, and you know, and so I look forward to working with you. We really look at just as we put this budget together, and by the way, you should have a letter that we sent to the committee. Hopefully you all have a copy of that, so I can skip a lot of the highlights. If you don't, we'll get it to you. You know, we really put this budget together thinking about, I wanted a strong package for agriculture. And so, you know, we're disappointed to see the number that the Senate has, but also appreciative of the things that are in there. We went really strong. We are proud to see the governor come with a $60 million out of our recommendations. Again, that came from a portal that we set up from what Minnesotans asked us that would help them as we come out of COVID. We've seen other states make big investments in agriculture right now, and we think that that reflected in that. So I'm not going to go over our budget requests. I think we've gone over those quite a bit. You know, I think that we hit things that, you know, like meat processing, soil health, you know, farm business management, new crops, programs for specialty crops, and of course, the most pressing thing right now is our emergency account. We need dollars, whether that comes through the drought package that you're hopefully going to consider tomorrow, or in this committee, and we may need some before then, because if this bill doesn't get to the floor till May with what we're dealing with avian influenza and our accounts, we're gonna become asking what we need. I just wanna share a couple of concerns that we have with the bill. We do have concerns about the language in the ACRA account, and especially if you, to me, the proposal the Senate have is not quite complete. If you raise the threshold, you also have to raise the maximum reimbursements, or we're going to create a lot of problems. We're going to create a lot of work for our staff. we're going to create a lot of inequities in the program. And so I think that that's something that we can continue to work on. We're disappointed that the grain indemnity language is not in there, but we appreciate continuing the discussion. That the grain indemnity, again, is going to be something that...
30 seconds.
Yep, thank you.
Peterson.
That we're going to have to continue to work on as we go forward. I do want to thank you, though, for the things that you do have in your bill, whether that's the Ag Innovation Campus, meat processing, and especially our IT modernization. Finally, Mr. Chair, I just say that, you know, the 3 years that I've been commissioner and you've been chair, we passed good bipartisan bills that had good votes and have served Minnesotans well. So I look forward to working with you on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. Members, we'll try to hold questions till the end. Commissioner Peterson, thank you for your comments. Deputy Commissioner Bob Meyer, welcome. Identify yourself for the record. You may proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Just 2 points I really want to testify on quickly. The first one is related to the concurrent language changes in Section 10, lines 32.19 to 33.6. At this time, the DNR and the Board of Animal Health are focusing on the final drafting of our Memorandum of Understanding and Data Sharing Agreement. And at this time, the DNR does not support the changes in this language in the bill. We look forward to working with the committee and continuing the discussions on this issue and the important issue of protecting both our farm deer and our wild deer health. Mr. Chairman, I also would like to bring to your attention on the broadband pieces. The governor's supplemental budget did contain funding for two FTEs for a period of approximately 4 years to help assist with the broadband permitting utility licenses across state lands. And at that point in time, those positions are not funded in either of the Senate proposals, the Ag Bill or the Environment Finance Bill. Without those resources, we will have a backlog of permitting issues to deal with to get those projects moving as people want them to do. So we look forward to working with you closely on that issue as well. And thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Meyer. Will you be able to stick around for further questions later?
Mr. Chairman, I will do my best. I do have another meeting though.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Dr. Beth Thompson, identify yourself for the record. You may proceed. Welcome to our committee.
Mr. Chair, members, can somebody indicate if you can hear me since I'm virtual?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Very
maybe quickly, get a little closer. You were better, and then it faded out a little.
then you get to see me more then too. So, Board of Animal Health. My name is Beth Thompson. I'm the state veterinarian and executive director of the board. First of all, thank you to this committee for all of the thoughtful work. Specifically talking about the concurrent authority and any changes that you have proposed here. The board remains committed to implementing the intent to the changes to the law that were made in the last legislative session, specific to the concurrent authority over white-tailed deer. On behalf of the board, I think an ongoing discussion regarding the concerns of the definition of concurrent authority is important. We need to be good stewards, at least for the board, of the general fund dollars that come to our agency. On behalf of the board, I would like to discuss this further with our board members, and we do have a quarterly meeting coming up on April 12th. And lastly, the majority of the work on the memorandum of understanding between the board and the Department of Natural Resources has been done. There are a few details that we are wrapping up on, but we look forward to getting that piece of work done and back to the committee too. And with that, Mr. Chair, members, I stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Thompson. And Director Thompson, I don't know what your schedule is. Are you able to stay with us for more of the meeting, or do you have other commitments off-site? And I guess I'm asking that because we could open it up for some questions now before we move into the other testifiers, if you have to. I know Mr. Meyer's also got some conflicts.
Actually, Mr. Chair, members, my conflict for later today just canceled about 2 minutes ago, so I'm free to stay during this meeting. Thank you.
So members, I think, why don't we just open it up for questions for these three at this time, knowing Mr. Meyer might have to leave to another meeting as well. So question, Director Thompson, and then Commissioner Meyer. Where you both referenced a memorandum of understanding. We had a hearing here in early February asking if you could get it done in 30 days. It sounded a little uncertain, as I recall from Mr. Meyer, your agency's perspective. Board of Animal Health was more affirmative that we could get it done in a timely fashion. Where are we at on that? We're going into soon 2 months of time. It sounds like there's good progress. Are we half done? Or are we just doing the final dotting I's and crossing T's? If you could answer that, Director Thompson, and then Commissioner Meyer. Other questions, members, raise your hand and we'll get you in.
Mr. Chair, members, my understanding of the memorandum of understanding, we were building on a memorandum of understanding regarding data transfer that was built a few years back. So to add to that memorandum of understanding, we put together the same group of folks that had been working on it prior. And from my understanding of the spreadsheet of the tasks that are going to be divided up between the two agencies, really there's only maybe one or two tasks left, and we will be able to get that routed between the two agencies.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Thompson did a great job presenting that. We have draft language that our concurrent authority work group is going through right now to reflect that the spreadsheet. So getting that from the spreadsheet into words on paper, once that the work team approves that and that's finalized, it will go on my side to the commissioner for final approval. We'll have a discussion with the governor's office on that, and Department of Agriculture, and have that ready to submit to you. I'm hopeful before, by the time we come back from Easter break at the latest.
And Mr. Meyer, while you're here, and Dr. Thompson, I'll just start with you, Mr. Meyer. Specifically to the language in the Senate, the bill in front of us, we've added a clarification that work needs to be in conjunction with each other, and one entity can't move ahead without the other one agreeing. It sounded like in your comments you were opposed to that. Can you address that a little more specifically for us? And then Dr. Thompson, I guess I'd ask for your comment on that language as well.
Mr. Chairman, members, changes to this statute right now we think are premature, as this authority was just recently received back in the middle of last summer, July 1st, actually. We've been working on it since and learning a tremendous amount, both agencies have been, I think, about these issues. I think these two topics can be and should be addressed in the memorandum of understanding rather than in statute. And our concern is that changes at this time may be premature with what we're learning through the MOU and our processes going forward. And we'd like to come back and have a discussion next session about how things are going again. And if we still have issues, discuss this at that point in time.
Dr. Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Excuse me. I think ongoing discussion regarding concurrent authority and that definition are very important. The board looks to the legislature for putting laws into place, which this agency does implement. I really had targeted talking to our board members again. A quarterly board meeting coming up here in just a couple of weeks about this change to the language. So, I appreciate all the work that this committee has done on this language and look forward to the ongoing discussions.
And Mr. Meyer, just from your perspective, how soon would we have a memorandum of understanding that we could review as a committee, as members, with you guys having an agreement? Is it in the foreseeable future?
Mr. Chairman, members, I believe, as I stated, we can certainly have something accomplished ready for your review when we come back from work after Easter break.
Very good. Dr. Thompson, is that your understanding as well?
Yes, we can certainly have it done. That would be after our board meeting, too, and we can certainly have everything completed at that time, if that is the timeline. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think on behalf of our committee, we would be very interested to see that get completed sooner than later. But other questions, members? Anything else for the Commissioner Peterson, Deputy Commissioner Meyer, or Director Thompson? We may be able to ask later, but we're just trying to take advantage of when they're here if they have to leave. So, with no further questions, thank you, Mr. Meyer, Director Thompson, and Commissioner Peterson. Members, we're going to move to the other testifiers. Again, 1 minute, I'll give you a 10 or 15 second warning. Please try to start with your most important points. Tim Spreck, you're up first. Reese Fredrickson, if you want to come be on deck, you'd be second. Tim Spreck, welcome to our committee. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Tim Spreck, and I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Deer Farmers Association. Mr. Chair, I want to thank you from the organization for your attention to their issues, their concerns, and their really industry-threatening situation that we've had to endure the last 3 years. This committee has done a fine job of vetting completely and totally, and we do greatly appreciate the appropriation you put in your bill to help alleviate some of the losses that the deer farmers have suffered as a result of no movement orders placed by the DNR. Mr. Chair, also with regard to Section 10, I call this the two to tango language. We actually like this language.
15 seconds.
I think getting both groups together to make an actual and real verified concurrent call on any type of no movement orders makes a lot of sense, and we appreciate your effort on this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spreck. Mr. Fredrickson, Reese Fredrickson's joining us by Zoom, and Emily McCormick, you're on deck. Go ahead, Mr. Fredrickson. Welcome to our committee. Identify yourself for the record. I'll give you a 15-second warning. We don't see Mr. Fredrickson. Why don't we go to Ms. McCormick, and then we'll come back to Mr. Fredrickson. If Mr. Fredrickson, we can't hear you if you are there, or nor can we see you. Ms. McCormick, identify yourself for the record, and welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Emily McCormick, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Big Cat Sanctuary Alliance to urge you to oppose the amendment that would exempt ZAA-accredited facilities from Minnesota's regulated animal law. I've personally been rescuing big cats and bears for over 23 years and have witnessed horrific animal welfare conditions. I urge you to closely review the 11-page document that was sent to you detailing serious Animal Welfare Act violations at ZAA-accredited facilities. I assure you that there is a lot more going on in this industry that is behind the scenes and beneath the surface. The ZAA is in no way on par with AZA. Just last night, in fact, photos surfaced of a ZAA facility violating policy by allowing public contact with a young black leopard. The current law has worked well. This amendment would turn Minnesota into a dangerous dumping ground, once again risking public
15 safety. Seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Keith Straff, welcome by Zoom. And Mr. Fredrickson, if you're here, let us know if you join us. Mr. Straff, again, identify yourself for the record, and I'll give you a 15-second warning. 1 minute, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Keith Streff, and I'm the supervising humanity based for the Animal Humane Society based in Golden Valley. I've worked in that capacity for over 35 years, and I also worked as a licensed peace officer for 22 of those years. I'm here to testify in opposition to Senate File 4019, specifically the A1 amendment. Many of you have heard and will hear testimony from experts talking about accreditation and exemption statistics and incidents. My testimony has a different focus. I'm here today to talk about what this bill does and the impact it will have on communities and local and law enforcement if passed. The bill lowers the standards required of individuals and organizations wanting to possess exotic and predatory animals. It's just that simple. Lowering the standards could change many things, but one thing is for certain, it will lead to a higher rate of incidents that will threaten the life and safety of the animals and the public alike. The Regulated Animal Act was passed in law in 2005 and has worked flawlessly. I helped draft that language and use
15 seconds, please.
The bill garnered broad support from law enforcement across the state. And those that want to possess large exotic animals today still can. There is a reasonable pathway in place for them to meet standards required by existing law. Minnesota has been there and done that, which is why I urge you not to support Senate File 4019. Thanks for your time, and I'd be happy to answer questions if you have any.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Straff. Mr. Fredrickson, are you with us?
I am.
All right, welcome. We went past, but welcome. Now we can hear you. Go ahead. Identify yourself for the record. As I've told others, if you didn't hear, we're asking you to keep your testimony to 1 minute. I will give you a 15-second warning. And so you may proceed. Identify yourself. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for what happened there. I'm kind of on the road right now. My name is Reese Fredrickson. I'm the county attorney for Pine County. I've been a prosecutor for nearly 15 years. I've always had a strong interest in animal cruelty laws and their relation to animal welfare, as well as violent crimes and public safety. I'm asking that the ZAA exception be deleted from Section 16 of Article 3. And I know there's been a lot of other letters, testimony on this. What I wanted to focus on was that the ZAA and the AZA are not comparable entities. For example, the ZAA guidelines are only 33 pages, whereas the AZA is 118 pages. AZA standards are thorough, exacting, demanding. That's why they're written into law. The current law works. And I got to tell you that, you know, dangerous animal cases cost a jurisdiction hundreds of thousands of dollars.
15 seconds.
And there's welfare issues. You merely have to look at Doc Antle, who was part of the Tiger King series. Currently being indicted by the Attorney General of Virginia for numerous animal crimes, and he's won ZAA awards. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Fredrickson. If I could just clarify, is this officially the Pine County position? You mentioned you're the Pine County attorney. Is that what you're testifying on behalf of?
I can't testify to the county's position because that comes from the county board. They'd have a resolution.
Okay, I wasn't sure you had identified yourself as the Pine County attorney, so I wanted to clarify that.
Right, no, that's just my position as executive branch officer.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Fredrickson, for joining us. Next, Charlie Samet. Welcome, Charlie. Identify yourself for the record. 1 minute, please. I'll give you a 15-second warning.
Thank you, Committee Chair and members. My name is Charlie Samet. I'm representing the Zoological Association of America, and I can't imagine how you can possibly disseminate between fact and truth in these hearings. As a representative of a professional trade organization, I'm encouraged to simply testify to the truth and facts about ZAA, but listening to this rock-throwing contest and false testimony makes it impossible to respond that way. You've received opposition from an AZA-accredited zoo near the Hemker Zoo on file, but it seems deceitful that they neglect to mention that they actually have animals from the Hemker Zoo on loan to them that they use for their zoo. You hear about USDA violations in ZAA-accredited facilities, but they suggest there's no violations in AZA facilities.
15 seconds, Mr. Salmon.
One sanctuary is actually testifying and neglecting that she had a serious USDA violation that resulted in the death of a cat due to lack of veterinary care. I just urge you to please consider the truths here, look past the rhetoric, and give ZAA the equal exemption it deserves to protect this one little zoo in your community that's serving a lesser community, a community that would have to travel hours to get to another zoo. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Samet. Joan Hemker from the Hemker Zoo. Joan, I trust you've been on. 1 minute, we'll ask you to keep your testimony to 1 minute. I'll give you a 15-second warning, as well as please identify yourself for the record. Welcome back, Ms. Hemker.
Hi. Thank you, Senator Western and committee members. My name is Dawn Hemper. I'm owner of Hemper Park and Zoo in Freeport, Minnesota. I'm urging you, the committee members, to listen to what we're saying. We're asking for an equal opportunity for ZAA as well as AZA to this statute to be treated equally. It is the duty of the government to treat us equal, as the 14th Amendment does say. The Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution, the 14th Amendment, requires state and governmental bodies to treat an individual in the same manner as others in similar conditions and circumstances.
15 seconds, Ms. Hemker.
You're allowing circuses, sanctuaries, and other facilities to be exempt who have to do no, they have no guidelines that they have to follow. And we're asking you to just consider ZAA to be added to this statute. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hemker. Stu Laurie, we'll ask you to come next, and Amanda Kohler on deck. She's by Zoom. So Stu, welcome to our committee. Identify yourself for the record. 1 minute, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Stu Laurie. I'm the Government Relations Director for Minnesota Farmers Union. And I'll work to be brief here. We've submitted longer comments for the record that I hope inform your work on this bill, but just wanted to share three quick things, words of thanks for including in the bill, things we're excited about, and then highlight a couple things we'd like to see included as this bill moves forward. So briefly, Mr. Chair and committee, thank you so much for your continued work on meat processing. This is exciting. Our members care about it not only because they're experiencing the bottleneck in meat processing, but also because they see the value economically that livestock brings to rural communities, and they understand that processing is essential to that. Second, and again briefly, we appreciate the emphasis on animal disease preparedness and response. I don't think I need to say more about that. And third, we appreciate the attention to soil health in your proposal. There's
seconds.
Lots of great things I could say about this, but we're coming out of a 30-year drought, and that'll help retain moisture in the soil. Number one thing we'd like to see included in your proposal going forward is the Grain Indemnity Fund. 14 other states have done this. It protects producers. Our current system of bonds is failing producers. That's evidenced most recently by the pipeline failure. $5.5 million worth in claims, that bond will pay out $500,000. That's par for the course. It's failing farmers, and we'd love to continue that conversation going forward and appreciate the department's work on a strong proposal. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and for the opportunity to fit that last pitch in.
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. You can stick around for questions if there's further questions at the end.
Will do, absolutely.
Okay. Ms. Kohler, welcome to us by Zoom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair members. My name is Amanda Kohler. I'm the Policy Manager at the Land Stewardship Project. And first and foremost, we want to thank you for your inclusion of investments in local meat processing, soil health, continuous living cover, supply chain development, and Forever Green. We believe that with the budget target that you've been given, it's overall a strong proposal. However, because of the budget target, the DE amendment has really stripped or significantly cut investments from the original bill that are desperately needed in the countryside. As introduced, the bill would certainly make a tangible difference for all Minnesotans, particularly those engaged in our farm and food system. And we would also like to see the creation of a certification navigator position, doubling funding for the farm to school program, and funding as introduced in Senate File 3320 to reimburse small meat processors for food safety and business planning courses included in the final package. Minnesota has a historic budget surplus that we urge you to use to fund our communities, especially our rural communities, through this supplemental budget.
15 seconds.
Opportunity to deliver for small and mid-sized Minnesota farmers and processors, our food system, and our rural communities. We did submit longer testimony written, and I'm happy to follow up with folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kohler. Appreciate you joining us. Next is David Eckhart with David Larson being on deck. David, you're joining us by Zoom, I understand. Welcome. Identify yourself for the record. I'll give you a 15-second warning. 1 minute, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Van Eckhout. I'm the Farm Program Director at the Good Acre, a food hub based in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. I'm here to express my support today for inclusion to the DE amendment of the language beginning at line 23.27 in the bill as originally written. a grant to the Good Acre in support of the Local Emergency Assistance Farmer Fund, also known as LEAF. LEAF is a multi-organization collaboration that began in 2020 to support emerging vegetable farmers due to the loss to their markets caused by the pandemic. In the last 2 years, this innovative program has purchased over $480,000 worth of produce from 62 participating farms, resulting in 250,000 pounds of number one quality fresh produce being donated to hunger relief organizations for distribution throughout the state. It's also offered low barrier entry point of into other wholesale markets within our food hub and other locations. The farmers who participated have sold an additional 350,000 other wholesale markets. I urge you to include this appropriation in the omnibus bill, which will allow us to expand a model that is already successful and is making a significant impact. Thanks for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Van Eckhout. Appreciate you joining us. Next, David Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome, Patrick Murray on deck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is David Larson. I'm the Government Affairs Director for Cooperative Network, a two-state trade association representing cooperatives in Minnesota and Wisconsin. We're here to support Senate File 4019, and I want to highlight three quick issues. First, the proposal to increase the maximum reimbursable amount in the ACRA program has been long needed as the cost per site cleanup has steadily risen since the cap was last raised in the year 2000. Second, we want to thank the committee for using the available federal funds, $110.7 million, that are going to be directed to the border-to-border grant program. And finally, the legislation establishes the grant program to help finance new cooperatives for agricultural purposes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Mr. Murray, welcome to our committee. Identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Westrom, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Murray. I am the executive director for the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments in support of the language contained within Article 3, Section 9 of the A1DE amendment that amends the maximum reimbursement payments for the ACRA fund. MCPR members are active participants in this program, but we do have concerns with the current ACRA maximum reimbursement amounts that are too low and would be addressed by this language. MCPR is supportive of increasing the cap on the maximum reimbursement amounts to adjust for the effects of inflation. As Mr. Larson noted, the last time this was done was in the year 2000. In the recent ACRA report that was prepared by MDA, an analysis of inflation was conducted to determine what the maximum reimbursement amount would be if it was adjusted purely based on inflation. The amount that they came to was almost identical to the amount that is in this amendment that you proposed, Senator. We've also indicated that if the amount were to be raised to the suggested amount in the amendment language before you, it would be difficult to support the increase without an increase in the current ACRA surcharge rates. Our members recognize this, but over time, as the historical sites are cleaned up and new facilities with better safeguards are built, those fees would most likely return to a lower rate. In closing, once again, thank you for the language, Senator. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Next, we're going to be joined by Carolyn Olson for the Farm Bureau instead of Amber Glazer. So, Carolyn, welcome by Zoom. Identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed. I'll give you a 15-second warning.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Carolyn Olson, and I'm the Vice President of the Minnesota Farm Bureau. On behalf of our nearly 30,000 members across the state, I want to thank you for the work you have done to put together the bill as amended. The conversations you have had over the last few weeks have been appreciated. I want to briefly reiterate our support for some of the provisions that were included in today's committee report. The investment into meat processing in our state, both the high school programs, the safety training reimbursements, and the agri grants. The last few years have shown us that we need to continue to invest in our supply chain, and this is a great step in doing so. So thank you. Minnesota Farm Bureau also appreciates the inclusion of the language for the grants for voluntary soil health practices that has been supported by many of the commodity groups. It has been a hard few days for Minnesota poultry growers. The outbreak of the highly pathogenic avian influenza in Minnesota over the last few days serves as an unfortunate reminder of the important steps that we have made and need to continue to make into the veterinary diagnostic lab and into the animal disease preparedness and response ag emergency fund. Thank you for including this in today's legislation. And in lieu of these agriculture emergencies, another unfortunate reminder comes in the form of the investments Minnesota has made into rural mental health. These challenges and the many others that face farmers and ranchers take a toll on mental health that still carries a stigma in our communities. Thank you for including this. And again, thank you for your support of Minnesota agriculture.
Thank you, Mrs. Olson. Appreciate you joining us from Southwest Minnesota. Next, Laura Lemke, and then Brent Christensen on deck. Laura, identify yourself. I'll give you a 15-second notice.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Laura Lemke, and I'm the Executive Director for the Minnesota Grain and Feed Association. On behalf of our members, I would like to thank you for removing the language in the DE amendment for Senate File 4019 pertaining to the creation of a grain indemnity fund in Minnesota. The MGFA opposes MDA's grain indemnity program because of the late distribution of the proposal relative to Minnesota's legislative committee deadlines, the lack of input from stakeholders, the cost to farmers and the grain elevator industry, and the passive solution to address future insolvencies versus preventative measures that protect farmers. This is a complicated issue that we feel deserves further analysis and discussion by all affected stakeholders. MGFA would request interim meetings of the Grain Advisory Group to create recommendations to revise MDA's grain licensing program, and we hope through these meetings to bring back a better, more thoughtful and equitable version of this proposal next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lemke. Mr. Christensen.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Nathan,
Chairman.
Nathan Zacharias on deck. Welcome, Mr. Christensen. Identify yourself for the record, and I think you've heard the routine. I'll give you a 15-second warning.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. For the record, my name is Brent Christensen. I'm the President and CEO of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in favor of Senate File 4019 as amended. Specifically, Article 2, Section 2, the Lower Density, Higher Match Pilot Program, and Article 2, Section 6, Broadband Mapping. We've long debated the 50% broadband grant match, and we all know that at some point, 50% match won't make sense as we get more and more of our state covered with broadband. The remaining projects will inevitably require a greater state match. The problem is that we don't know how many of these projects are out there because grant applicants who put in more money of their own score higher. This section would establish a pilot program where the Office of Broadband Development may use up to $15 million strictly for applications where a 50% match, formula match, is not adequate and allow them to match up to 75%.
15
this
seconds.
Will put those projects that can't make a business case work at 50% in a separate test program and give all of us a better picture of what works at 50% and what does not. I would also like to thank you for your continued commitment to broadband mapping. Since 2008, even before the federal government started, Minnesota has been mapping broadband. Our maps are better than anything produced by the federal government or any other state, but they can always be better. The state needs to be able to verify the information that they are receiving from providers to ensure accurate maps. Article 2, Section 6 of this bill will help do that. We cannot ensure that state and federal dollars are getting them to the most needed parts of our state without accurate maps. MTA looks forward to working with the legislature and governor to truly obtain border-to-border broadband in Minnesota. Thank you for your support of rural broadband. And with that, I'm happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Last on our testifier list, Nathan Zacharias. Nathan, welcome. Identify yourself for the record. I'll give you a 15-second warning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Nathan Zacharias. I represent the Minnesota Rural Broadband Coalition. We're an advocacy organization made up of groups from local government, education, ag, healthcare, and cooperatives, broadband providers, and more. I'm here today to testify in favor of Senate File 4019. The bill would fund border-to-border broadband grant program with an additional $110 million. And our state grant program is the premier program of its kind and one of the best ways to build broadband networks in unserved areas. Additionally, SF 4019 contains provisions the coalition supports, including raising the state match from 50 to 75% in low density areas, giving DEED the ability to spend funds on more comprehensive mapping, allowing broadband infrastructure to be installed on existing easements, and directing future federal funds to the border-to-border grant program. This bill helps us get closer to the goal of connecting every Minnesotan home, every Minnesota home and business to broadband. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Zacharias. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate all of you taking time to join us as we go through and offer your testimony and input. Members, that concludes our list. Is there anybody else in the audience that's here to testify for or against this bill as amended? Anybody? Very good. Members, why don't we move into discussion and amendments? Which is the first one? Okay. Members, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A2 amendment.
Senator Anderson moves the A2 amendment. Go ahead, Senator Anderson, if you want to briefly explain that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been told to our members of our committee that the timeline for completing loan applications seemed what limited, and so we have been asked to look at maybe extending that time. So what the amendment says, the authority must make a decision on a completed loan application submitted by a borrower or eligible ag lender within 10 business days. And I guess if there's anybody in the audience that would like to speak to that, that is basically what we've been asked to add to the bill, Mr. Chair.
So thank you, Senator Anderson. And I can speak a little to this. I know there's been concern by those in the loan industry working with farmers that the speed at the RFA processing has dramatically reduced in the last 2 years. Maybe Commissioner Peterson, I don't know if you want to comment on this or if you have somebody else that would be better. The concern is how much time it's taking to process loans. That's been an issue that's been brought to several of us. But
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for the
record. Identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Andrea Vauble. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So just to speak to this amendment, our goal is always to do 10 days or less when we're working on completing when we're approving a completed loan application. However, we are woefully understaffed for the loan portfolio as it's doubled in the past couple of years. We are getting 100 to 10 and 100 to 40 new loans on top of the ones we're already servicing. We also have the beginning farmer tax credit that was added to the Rural Finance Authority. That includes 1,100 transactions. We were asked to do that without additional administrative help. So that's why we've asked for assistance in the governor's supplemental budget for help to alleviate some of this. We really do need the staff to be able to push these loans through faster and quicker and to meet that 10-day business day outline.
So, Ms. Vauble, what would you say your timeline is right now for turning those loans around? And is there a point where the right number of staff could reach this commitment? Or do you see that maybe it'll be dropping off? And so if we hire more staff and then goes back to normal, now we have more staff and more expense than what we need.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We actually anticipate that the loan demand will rise. It's looking like interest rates will also be rising, and since we have such a good interest rate at the RFA, we anticipate more of a demand for the loans. So we don't feel like adding additional staff capacity would be a problem in subsequent years. I would say that once we get all of the completed application materials, we usually can take a couple of days to approve it. However, it's been a lot longer than that, usually because so many things are coming in piecemeal, and so it's taking a while to get completed applications to review and approve.
Thank you. Senator Dornick? You have a question, Senator Dornick?
No question.
Okay, no question. I'm going to also ask Darren McBeth has joined us by Zoom. Mr. McBeth, the question we've had is just what is the time processing looked like today, and what's happening? I know several of your farm credit lenders, bankers are concerned with some of the timing, but can you, to the amendment in front of us and the timelines that we have raised the issue about how do we get to 10 days as a turnaround time, go ahead, Mr. Macbeth, if you could join us and share with us some concerns or perspectives or thoughts on how to get there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is Darren Macbeth from Lathrop GPM Law Firm representing Minnesota Farm Credit Legislative Committee. And our loan officers among Compere Financial and Agstar Farm Credit Services have indeed found processing times gone from 3 to 5 days in past years to 8 to 10 weeks in some cases. And obviously, that's just not the speed of business and jeopardizes farmers being able to utilize financing through what otherwise are incredibly good opportunities. And I will say the staff they work with at the Rural Finance Authority at the department are wonderful. And we absolutely maintain that. And these programs offer incredible financing and incentive opportunities, even better than the USDA Farm Service Agency programs. However, if we're not able to, you know, get the paperwork through, they can't avail themselves of those opportunities. And so I personally am not at liberty to address staffing shortages or allocation of staff resources. We just know that it's been a huge slowdown, and whatever we can do to address processing and review and again of a complete application is key and important. And once a complete application is submitted, we feel whether it's the other and I'm really talking about the general loan and loan participation programs of the Rural Finance Authority. I'm not directly talking about the beginning farmer tax credit. That's a different process that is not a loan program. And I was unaware that got pulled into the RFA in terms of that burden on staff to process all that. But regardless, the loans themselves to take that long, it's just they're becoming essentially unusable.
Thank you, Mr. Macbeth. Other questions, members?
Senator Frenz.
Senator Frenz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what happens if it's not done in 10 days?
Senator Anderson, any thought on that? Or is it Mr. Senator Frenz? I think this is probably guidance language, so I don't think anybody goes to jail over it. But
so, Mr. Chair, you're saying no jail?
No jail.
Okay.
No jail. We don't want to drive up the cost of incarceration.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe Senator Anderson and I could talk about it offline, but it's a question being posed. Appreciate it. And everybody wants expediency. Thank you again, Mr. Chair. No jail.
Any other questions, members? Other discussion? All those having no further discussion, all those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Senator Murphy?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I have the A5 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves the A5 amendment. Senator Murphy, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to work with you as we put together this bill. We had discussed with you a couple of places where we thought it would be important to add a little funding. And so the A5 represents a conversation that we've had, we being Senator Frenz and Senator Eakin and myself, along with you. And I would love it if staff would go through the amendment, please.
Very good. Senator Murphy, Hannah, do you want to walk through the A5 amendment for the committee, please?
Mr. Chair, yes,
or,
I can.
Or Laura, if it makes more sense. You guys can leg wrestle.
We'll double team it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A5 essentially removes the IT modernization appropriation of $1 million and replaces it with four separate actions. So I'll just walk through the A5 document real quick. Lines 1.3 through 1.8 are just some total adjustments, so more technical changes. Then line 1.9 increases the Forever Green appropriation by $150,000. Line 1.10 increases the Vet Diagnostic Lab appropriation by $250,000. Line 1.11 is another adjustment just to a total. Line 1.12 deletes the IT modernization appropriation. And then skipping down just a little bit here to line 1.23, this adds $300,000 for equipment purchases, replacement, installation expenses, and lab infrastructure for AURI. And then going back up to line 1.15, this is a $300,000 appropriation to emerging farmers, which I will turn over to Ms. Painter to explain a little bit further.
Ms. Painter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This section 1.15 to 1.22 is a section for grants to support emerging farmers, and we intend to keep discussing this with the Department of Agriculture and flesh out a little bit more what we're going to do with these grants. But it is intended for emerging farmers of historically underrepresented in the farming industry. Thank you.
Any questions? Senator Murphy, I understand there's an oral amendment we may need to just clean up some language.
Mr. Chair, that's right. There is an oral amendment to this amendment. And again, I would turn to staff.
Staff, do you want to, Ms. Painter, do you want to read the oral amendment for the record and explain it?
Mr. Chair, I can read the amendment here. Hannah here.
Okay.
So the oral amendment moves to add a line to the A5 for the DE on page 4, line 31, before the period to add, comma, African swine fever, comma, avian influenza, comma, and other animal diseases.
So, members.
Mr. Chair, could she repeat that again?
Senator Anderson, yes.
Thank you.
Hannah, do you want to repeat that one more time, members?
Mr. Chair and members, yes. So the oral amendment moves to, on the DE amendment, page 4, line 31, before the period, add, comma, African swine fever, comma, avian influenza, comma, and other animal diseases.
Oh, wait. So I've got a question, yeah. I'm thinking this language is for the DE or for the A5?
Mr. Chair, the oral amendment would be moving to amend the DE amendment.
Okay. I might have gotten ahead of myself. So, but it helps make the A5 work, if I understand it correctly.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. So members, I'm going to ask Senator Murphy if you want to withdraw your oral amendment. I think we should vote on the A5 and then go back to fixing the or making the oral amendment.
Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. Ms. Painter here.
Ms. Painter.
I just was thinking we could just add this language to the A5 amendment between lines, would it be 1.9 and 1.10?
Okay. Let's do that. I think that would be a better way. We'll modify the A5 with the oral amendment.
Yeah,
Ms. Painter, do you want to repeat that then one more time?
Just for clarification purposes, it was modifying language that's in the A1, but the language itself for the oral amendment would be added to the A5. Hannah, I'm sorry, Ms. Grimwald, do you mind reading that out again?
And Ms. Painter, just clarify for the record again, between lines one, which lines?
It would be added to the A5 amendment between lines 1.9 and 1.10.
And read for the record the language we're adding orally.
And Mr. Chair, that line would read page 4, line 31, before the period, add, comma, African swine fever, comma, avian influenza, comma, and other animal diseases.
Very good. Members, does that, any questions on the oral amendment? Having none, we'll vote on the oral amendment to the A5 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A5 amendment as amended. Other questions, members? No further questions on the A5 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Aye. Motion prevails. Sorry, Senator Goggin, I'll try not to go faster than Zoom.
That's okay.
So, members, the chair will offer the A6 amendment. And, members, the A6 amendment is, we heard the testimony, we heard the bill the other day about the zoo and the ability to have certain monkeys, more monkeys or cats at the zoo in Freeport, the Hemker Zoo. We've heard from the testifiers. We've heard both proponents and opponents. Members, this language would actually change what's in the bill in the attempt to maybe find a little, find more peace in the valley. What this amendment would do is, instead of stipulating it's a ZAA approved zoo, it would make a provision for all zoos that also house AZA animals, which is also the case. If you recall the testimony and talking to my constituent, some of their animals, they work back and forth with other zoos. In their case, they have AZA housed zoos, zoo animals on their farm or their zoo, and some of their animals go to AZA zoos as they work between different exhibits and animals. And so in the attempt of trying to find peace in the valley, as they say, this A6 amendment would modify the language, I think be viewed by several as maybe less controversial. Members, I'm interested in finding an outcome that works for the one private zoo we have in the state, in my district, that's trying to educate, promote conservation, bring a great dynamic for Minnesota residents and others traveling through the state to their zoo, and do it in a very educational, safe, and responsible way. And so, members, I would move the A6 amendment. Any questions?
Senator Frentz.
Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm always cheering for attempts to find peace in the valley and compromise. As to the amendment, which we've just seen, would it be my understanding then that as long as an exhibitor has at least one animal that goes to one facility, which is accredited by the AZAA, that entire facility would then be exempt?
That's my understanding, Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, if I may, Mr. Chair, then the question would be, would those that have expressed a written objection to the original language then be okay with this amendment, or would they retain some of the questions about the level of regulation?
Senator Frentz, why don't we ask if there's any testifiers that are online with us yet? Ms. Hemker, if you're with us, maybe I'd start with you, but Ms. Hemker, are you? Do you have access to the A6 amendment?
I do not have access to it. However, I understand through conversation what that entails. First of all, to work with an AZA zoo.
And Ms. Hemker, it has been posted online, but I don't know if you have access to that where you are. But just if somebody's with you, they might be able to pull it up while you're talking. But just to the comments, and if it helps, I can have our counsel read it for you. And to anybody else that might be online, our staff has posted it online. Go ahead, Ms. Hemker, to the concept of the language that I talked about.
I'm looking for it online. Just one second, I have to find it online. Do you have it online?
In the meantime, I'll have staff just read it. Ms.
Okay.
Painter, can you just read it out loud?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The new language adds one additional exemption to the section regarding regulated animals. And that new section reads, a United States Department of Agriculture licensed exhibitor of regulated animals that houses animals owned by institutions accredited by the American Zoo and Aquarium Association. And we've also added an effective date to make it effective the day following final enactment.
Ms. Hemker, were you able to hear that?
Okay, so you would have to be an accredited zoo.
No.
Correct?
No. You would have to be an existing zoo that is housing animals from an AZA accredited zoo, is how I understand it. Is that correct, Ms. Painter?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Ms. Hemker?
One of the things with the AZA zoos is we get inspected by them before they are willing to put any animal in our facility. We have to carry an accreditation to work with an AZA zoo. So not anybody can work with an AZA zoo. We need to be accredited. They need to come out to the facility, and we have to go through a thorough inspection with the AZA zoo before they will place any animal with us, or they will take any animal from our facility to theirs.
So Ms. Hemker, just for the committee's information, so they all have similar information to what I understand also, but your zoo, and I believe you or one of your testifiers on Monday talked about this, there is AZA accredited animals on your zoo. Is that correct? And about
correct.
How many? How many do you have approximately?
We have 45, here I have the number right here. We have 45 animals from 25 different AZA institutions at our zoo. And we have animals at other AZA accredited zoos from us. As a matter of fact, we have some animals in Minnesota at one of the AZA zoos that we have animals there.
And thank you, Ms. Hemker. Senator French, does that help? And then do we have others that could join us?
Mr. Chair, I do appreciate the additional testimony. I think one of my questions was, of the entities that were objecting to the original language, do any of them find comfort in this? And if they do, I think that's helpful for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. McCormick, could you comment on our discussion here?
I think having a hedgehog or a deer or rabbit, maybe that came from an AZA zoo originally, it has nothing to do with allowing a tiger, a lion, or a gorilla, a dangerous animal into your state. So I don't think that being part of that is gonna make a difference on the level of danger that we're talking about here. And to note, once again, we've stated in the fact that you could easily bring yourself to an AZA accreditation. There is a cost with any accreditation, but at the same time, I will point out that the cost of owning a big cat or a large primate and things like that has a huge cost too, and including building in a proper enclosure. I think we need to look at some of those things.
Ms. McCormick, can I just clarify? Do you work with the AZA, or what's your organization again?
I work at an accredited sanctuary. It's Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge, and we are accredited by the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries.
I don't believe we have anybody from the AZA that's testified against or in favor of this provision, Senator Frentz, but Mr. Samet has his hand up, and then I'll go back to Ms. Hemker. Mr. Samet? It's still muted, I believe.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can now. Mr. Samet, you had your hand up. Can you comment on the discussion?
The animals being housed at the Hemker Zoo.
Get as close to the mic as you can.
The animals being displayed at the Hemker Zoo are not hedgehogs and rabbits. I think if you talk to Joan, you're going to find out that they're far more substantial. And again, the path to AZA accreditation is far more complicated and far more expensive than Ms. McCormick is either aware of or sharing with you. So I think this is a very, very fair amendment. It's certainly not what we had hoped for ZAA, but it's a very fair amendment for the community that benefits from the Hemker Zoo.
Ms. Hemker?
You know, what we're asking is not, we're not saying we want to bring cats in. And we want this amendment to be fair for all, is what we're asking for. I'm not even sure I'm going to bring cats in. And this has become a big cat issue. And I feel really bad that this is what it's turned into. It's not, we already have dangerous animals at our zoo. We've had them for 40 years. We've been compliant. We know what it takes to build a cat exhibit. We know that there are places within Minnesota that are bringing cats in already. You know, we just want this to be fair for all.
Senator Frentz, any follow-up?
No, but thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions, discussion members? Who's that? Ms. McCormick, you have your hand up again. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we weren't, you know, it's any dangerous animal. I don't think that, you know, this isn't a stone throwing contest here. You know, if you do have animals coming in from AZA accredited facilities, maybe, you know, you could be exempt on that specific animal, not an entire facility, to where they wouldn't have to follow, you know, animal welfare laws and things that are already in place in the state.
So Ms. McCormick, if I understand the testimony correct, and if you understand differently, please let us know. But the AZA, if they house an animal already in zoos that are ZAA or some other accredited, they do their own research and checking and site visits and making sure that it's a safe, adequate place for them to bring their animals. And as I've gotten into this, I understand they interchange many times for genetic reasons, for other reasons that are very logical. Are you saying the AZA is not doing a good job when they make these site visits and make decisions of where they would house other animals?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, I think there's different documentation depending on what type of species it is. So I'm not aware that they go and do an inspection on every species.
Okay.
That they will be placing, of course, out of genetics or whatever, but, you know, it's very different when you're talking about dangerous species.
Ms. Hemker, you have your hand up, and before you answer, maybe just, I don't know if, I'm not asking you to answer this if it's not something you want to answer or feel you can share. The comment was about hedgehogs and bunnies. I don't know if they're on the regulated list, but are they part of the animals that you're keeping that are regulated, or can you share with us any of those types of animals?
We can share some of the animals that we are housing for genetic diversity, and so that the AZA zoos can keep these animals within their zoo. We have a rhino right now. The only rhino in the state of Minnesota is being housed at Hemker Park and Zoo, and it's housed there to hold genetics. So when that rhino is, when they match it up with a female that they want to breed with, they will call it back. And they will use that rhino. And we're housing it. We do not charge them. We feed it. We care for it. We built a building for it. And we're doing it out of the goodness of our heart because we care about conservation and preservation of animals. We do not take this lightly. We have had dangerous animals for many years. We do not, safety is one of our biggest concerns at our zoo.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Hemker. Other questions, members? Anybody else? Ms. McCormick, then we're going to move to...
One more brief thing.
Go ahead, Ms. McCormick.
This is not against Ms. Hemker at all. It's what would be opening your state up for potentially moving into the future and more facilities that might decide to make a home there and bring in more dangerous animals. So this isn't just, it's not against one zoo in a community. I just wanted to state that. It's more about your state and what you could be opening yourself up to.
Very good. Other questions, members? And members, Senator Murphy, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the effort to try and find a path forward on this issue. And we had a lot of testimony when we heard it on Monday, and there's a fair amount of testimony today, and a number of those testifiers have left. And I imagine that the committee is probably going to adopt this, but it is of the issues thus far, as this bill has come together, this is the one I'm hearing the most about. I'm hearing a lot of concern about it. So I just want to make sure I'm saying that on the record for everybody who's paying attention, that I appreciate that you are trying to find a path forward, and especially for Ms. Hemker in the district you represent. But I'm not quite sure that we're quite there yet, and I just want to get that on the record. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Murphy. Other questions, members? Comments? Having no further discussion, we'll move to take a vote on the A6 amendment. All those in favor of the A6 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Thank you, Ms. Hemker, Ms. McCormick. You're welcome to stay on and join us as we conclude our meeting or continue. But members, other questions or amendments to the bill? Any further discussion? Having no further discussion, members, we can come to the final vote on the SF4019 as amended. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you, members. The bill has been passed and re-referred to the Finance Committee. With that, we don't have any further bills in front of us today. Members, this might be our last committee of the session, but it might not either. We may look at some informational or other bills, but right now we don't have anything else scheduled. I want to just thank our staff, both a partisan on the DFL side, the Republican side, as well as our Senate counsel and our committee administrator and our committee LA. And the pages as well. We don't want to forget the pages and the valuable job that everybody does on behalf of the Agriculture Committee. We thank you all for your contributions. Your contributions as well, members. So thank you for actively participating. That's makes for a better committee, I think a better outcome as well. So thank you for your indulgence. Thank you for your participation. And at this point, this committee meeting is adjourned.